thank you for tuning in to the radio ministry of Clearview Church. At Clearview, our focus is making Christ visible and providing an atmosphere of worship and community. Come check us out at 3485 Oxford Road in Henderson, or visit us online at clearviewbc.org. Now join us for this week's message by Pastor Abadan Shaw.
Now, I don't usually use movie illustrations, but just for today, can you tell me which movie this line comes from? No such thing as bad student, only bad teacher. How about another line from that same movie, wax on, wax off? Oh, there you go. That's it. But I love that line that I quoted earlier, no such thing as bad student, only bad teacher. I'm preaching this morning, and the premise is the same. No such thing as a bad kid, only bad parents. And that's a tough message to swallow because I am a parent. And my kids are still in the house. And so it's tough to preach a message that I need to hear desperately. Last weekend, we looked at Proverbs 22 and verse 6, where it says, train up a child in the way he, or you could say, she should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. And we focused on four elements in that verse. The first is the child. The second is the way. The third is the training. And the fourth is the promise that if you do the first three things right, there is the promise that they are coming back. This morning, I want to focus on the fifth element that I barely touched on last weekend, and that is the trainer, the parent. And I'm going to Psalm 50, verse 16, and you will see why I'm choosing this passage for this message in a few moments. So if you have your Bibles with you, Psalms 50, verse 16, and also verse 17. Let's all stand for the reading of God's Word. But to the wicked, God says, what right have you to declare my statutes or take my covenant in your mouth, seeing you hate instruction and you cast my words behind you? A coach cannot hate the playbook and still expect to train his athletes the way he's supposed to. You cannot hate God's word. You cannot disregard God's word. You cannot disobey God's word and still expect your children and your grandchildren to love the word of God and to obey the word of God. How do you feel about this book? How do you feel about the truths in this book? And the question I ask every week, are you saved? Or to say it differently, have you received the Word of God, Jesus Christ? Now, last weekend, I barely touched on the character of the trainer. I even gave the example of King David and how he failed to be a good father. Now, in today's message, I want to step back and further understand why and how did David mess up? What happened to him? Why would he do the things that he did? You know the sin with Bathsheba. You know how he killed her husband and how he lied to cover things up. And then later on, he took many wives. To truly understand this, we have to turn to Psalm 50. Now, you may not know this, but scholars, especially scholars in the Old Testament, in the past three decades have come to realize that the book of Psalms is not just a random collection of the songs of Israel. That's what we think, that this is their hymn book, and just like our hymn book, they have been thrown in there. They're the Word of God, but there is no connection between the Psalms. Scholars have come to realize that there is plenty of connection. In fact, Psalm 51, which is David's psalm of repentance, you know that psalm very well. Against you, you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight. Purge me with hyssop. Cleanse me, O God, so that the bones that you have broken may rejoice again, so that I can tell sinners of your way and they will be converted. That's David's psalm of repentance after Nathan the prophet confronted him about his sin. Now, we know what happened in Psalm 51. But why did David fall into sin? To know that, all you have to do is read the psalm prior to Psalm 51, which is Psalm 50. Now, how do we know this for sure? If you were to compare Psalm 50 and 51, there are many words and concepts that are common. It may not seem like it in the English, but in the Hebrew, there are a lot of commonalities. Something else. If you have your Bibles open, the first line of Psalm 50 says, a psalm of Asaph. Who was Asaph? Asaph was a wonderful composer. He was a worship leader that David had appointed in the temple. Asaph wrote many psalms. In fact, Psalms 73 through Psalm 83 are psalms of Asaph. They are in a collection. They are together. But then something happened. Psalm 50 is also a psalm of Asaph, but someone took it out of his collection and placed it before Psalm 51. Who do you think that someone may be? I tend to believe it's the Holy Spirit. He chose it for a particular reason, because it gives us an insight into why and how David fell into sin. Now, I don't have the time to go through the entire psalm. That is not my purpose this morning. I encourage you to go home and read it. But in this psalm, first Asaph addresses the righteous people, and he tells them of God's blessing. He reminds them of God's promises in their life. But in the second half, he deals with the wicked. I mean, we began the passage with, but to the wicked God says. Now, don't misunderstand. These are not the wicked as those who hate God. These are not the wicked as those who are evil and don't believe in God. The wicked in this context are those who are righteous, but for the moment have turned away from God. So listen to verse 16. But to the wicked righteous, God says, what right have you to declare my statutes and take my covenant in your mouth, seeing you hate instruction and you cast my words behind you? God is confronting his people, those who have turned against him, those who are righteous but they're living unrighteously. He is confronting them and saying, you declare my words, you speak my truth, but you despise my word and you disregard my truth. God is telling them that unless they have the right attitude towards his word, they don't have the right to declare his word. In other words, I lose the right to preach God's word and to teach God's word to my children if I don't receive God's word and obey God's word in my life. Now, David loved the Word of God. I mean, all you have to do is read some of his psalms. He loved the Word of God. I'm going to read to you Psalm 19, just a few verses. Psalm 19, starting in verse 7. David is writing these words. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. See, when you are in the Word of God, you cannot help but have more of the Word of God, because you know the difference it makes in your life. It brings you joy. It cleanses you. It draws you clear and close to God. It sharpens your conscience. This is David in Psalm 19. Now listen to verse 9. The fear of the Lord is clean. enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than fine gold. When you are in the Word of God, you want this book more than anything else. Yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned. When you are in the Word of God, when sin begins to come, immediately your sin sense begins to tingle and you know this is not right. I need to move away from this. I need to get away from this person. I need to stay away from this situation. And in keeping them, there is great reward. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless, and I shall be innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth, you know this one, and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. You see, David had incredible love for the Word of God. He wanted to stay in the Word of God. He got the benefits of the Word of God, and he wanted more of the Word of God. But something happened. He got away from the Word of God. And what God is saying to David is this: what right have you to declare my statutes or take my covenant in your mouth, seeing that you hate instruction? It's not a joy for you to go to church and say, I want more. Give me more of the Word of God. It's not a joy for you to sit and listen to the Word of God or watch the Word of God. Now it's almost hatred. Yeah, that's what preachers say all the time. Yeah, the Sunday school teacher, I know he was talking to me. I know who she's talking to. But I know when they read that passage, I was all for me. I got it. I hear you. You see the sense of disdain in the tone. There's a sense of hatred. God says, you have lost the right to tell people my word. Can I extend that a little bit? How does that apply to training your children? When you don't stay in the book, when you don't love this book, you have forfeited the right to train your children. Right this moment, many of your Bibles are on the coffee table collecting dust. You know, there are people who want their children and grandchildren to go to church. They want them to go to Sunday school. They want them to be in Blaze, in Awana, in children's camps, in youth retreats. But they themselves do not love coming to church. They don't love getting into the Word. They don't care anything about Bible study and Sunday school. Oh, here we go. And just like this, they have excuses. But oh, yeah, you better go to church. Where were you last night? Wednesday night, aren't you supposed to be in church? And the kid is thinking, why do you want me to be in church when you hate everything about church? You don't read the Bible. You don't read the Word of God. Now let's go back to Psalm 50. When you turn away from God's Word, it opens the floodgates to sin. Listen to the list of sins that follow. By the way, they are a clear violation of the Ten Commandments, especially Commandments 6 through 10. Listen to how sins begin to come. I'm back in Psalm 50, verse 18. First sin that comes is a sin of stealing. When you saw a thief, you consented with him. The word consented, by the way, is the Hebrew word ratsa, which means you become accepting, you are pleased, you get along with people who steal. When you're not in this book, when a thief comes around, you don't have the same conscience, the conviction that says that person will steal. They will steal people's reputations. They will steal people's money. They will steal people's time. But right now, since you are not in this book, the sword of the Lord is not working in your heart. You are accepting of people. You consent with robbers. By the way, that's the violation of the eighth commandment, which is thou shalt not steal. But that's not the only sin that comes. Here comes sin number two, the sin of adultery. Listen to what God says in verse 18. When you saw a thief, you consented with him and have been a partaker. The word partaker is the Hebrew word kalak, which means you have a common ground with adulterers. When you are not in this book, then you seem to be okay with people who are having affairs and justifying affair. Honey, you deserve to be happy, and you are hanging out with that honey. You even begin to condone them. You know someone is stepping outside their marriage, but see, right now you're not in the Word of God, and you think, well, her marriage is unhappy anyway, so this is making her happy. Well, wait a minute, right now the Word of God is not in your life, so what do you say? You say, well, whatever makes you happy. By the way, what is that doing? That's the violation of commandment number 7, which is, you shall not commit adultery. If I can add to that, it's also a violation of commandment number 10, which is, you shall not covet your neighbor's house, you shall not covet your neighbor's wife. See how quickly, when you get away from the Word of God, these sins begin to follow. The sin of stealing, the sin of adultery, but that's not the only sin. Here comes a third sin, which is a sin of slander. Listen to verse 19. You give your mouth to evil. Now you begin to say things, and your tongue frames deceit. You know the word framing? It's an amazing Hebrew word. It's almost like you build a house. You build a whole structure, something that is hollow. You make up stories about people. Your heart is full of bitterness, and now you begin to say things and conjure up stuff about people. Why? Because you are not in the Word. See, I can stand here and preach to you a message on anger and bitterness and adultery and stealing, and it will just bounce off of you. But if you go with the Word of God, you realize the source is you're not in the Word. You know, I'm in the Word not because I'm a pastor. I'm in the Word because I need this book. This book keeps me sane. This book keeps me in the right path. This book helps me in my marriage. This book helps me in how I raise my children. This book helps me in how I lead the church. But now listen to this. Verse 20. You sit and you speak against your brother. You slander your own mother's son. Means now you begin to talk trash about those in your family. And that could be your flesh and blood, or that could be your church family, your work family. Now you begin to slander them. You know, I think this is also breaking the commandment, the sixth commandment, which is what? You shall not murder. Because assassinations are not just physical, it's also character. You can assassinate someone's character by saying trash about them. And what is the source of all this? It is all bitterness that is coming. When I get away from this book, folks, what's going to happen? This book brings grace in my life. This book brings forgiveness in my life. When I get away from the Word of God, now bitterness, resentment, unforgiveness have total reign in my life. So what I'm spewing out is because the Word is not checking me. It's not purifying me. Now here's the danger. Imagine you are a teacher, but you are corrupted by stealing, adultery, slander. How good a teacher are you going to be? You see, this is why I began this message by the statement, there are no bad kids, only bad parents. Kids are kids. But if the parent is infected by these sins because they are not in the Word, now listen to what is happening to the children. They are taking in all these sins into their lives. Now I've said it before and I'll say it again. You cannot be saved and be forever bitter against people. There will be time to time bitterness in your life. There will be times it'll be hard for you to forgive, but you cannot be perpetually unforgiving and bitter and resentful and talk trash about people and still claim to be saved. So what will God do about this? Listen to verse 21. These things you have done and I have kept silent. Now, don't misinterpret God's silence as God's approval. In time, God will deal with our sins. But I love this last line. I love it and I dread it. You thought that I was altogether like you. What God is saying to David and to us is, you think I am like you. You tried to create me in your image. So you are full of bitterness and hatred and anger and jealousy and lust and greed. And somehow you have projected those things towards me. And you think it's okay because God is these things too. How crazy can that be? He made us in his image, not vice versa, folks. You cannot say, well, you know, I get angry. But you see, God gets angry. Well, wait. Back up a little bit. God gets angry, and it's called righteous anger. You get angry because you don't get your way. But God doesn't tell us everything. Well, wait. Well, God doesn't tell us everything for our benefit. You are holding back on the truth because you are deceiving someone. Don't make God in your image. Don't bring God down to your level. That is a sin of misrepresenting God, and he hates it. You see, without the Word being the standard, you begin to make your own standard. Without the Bible giving you the true image of God, you begin to make God into your image. Verse 21, but I will rebuke you and set them in order before you, before your eyes. Verse 22, now consider this, you who forget God, lest I tear you in pieces. Lest I tear you in pieces is literally, lest I kill you. You know, this sin has serious consequences. When you get away from the Word of God, you lose the right to declare the Word of God, to train your children in the Word of God, because now the sins of stealing and adultery and slander begin to come through your life. And instead of repenting, you try to create God in your own image. And God says, I'm going to deal with you. I'm going to expose you. I will tear you in pieces. And the whole world is going to watch this because there will be none to deliver. This is a powerful passage because it tells us that people will see what is happening to you, but they cannot interfere. They cannot intervene. Again, the old adage, you uncover your sin and God will cover it. You cover your sin, God will uncover it. And no one can interfere. Finally, verse 23, whoever offers praise glorifies me, and to him who orders his conduct aright, I will show the salvation of the Lord. Which means this, what you have to do is you have to repent. You cannot continue the same way. Repentance has to come. Now, we know that David repented. That was Psalm 51. You know, the thing about David was this. When God confronted David, he repented. He humbled himself before God. But something happened towards the end of his life. David did not have the same walk with God. Last weekend, I shared with you about David's relationship with his other son, Absalom. Absalom was a handsome young man. Absalom was very gregarious. Absalom was winsome. Absalom also had a bad temper. And one reason he had a bad temper is because his daddy didn't do anything when his own brother raped his sister, both David's children. And David didn't say a word. He didn't do anything. And Absalom was angry with his father. David only sat back and he cried. He never reached out and said, Absalom, let's make it right. In fact, the Bible says David brought Absalom back to his home, but he didn't want to see his face. That's really odd, isn't it? That instead of saying, God, I have sinned, I need to talk to Absalom. David says, God, I just want Absalom in my life, but I don't want to see him. Absalom led a rebellion. He was killed in the process, and David sat there weeping. They never reconciled. David failed as a trainer. Let me ask you this morning, what kind of a trainer are you? What kind of a parent are you? Are you in the Word of God? Are you truly in the Word? I didn't ask you if you are into my preaching. I didn't ask you if you are in someone's preaching or someone's book. What I'm asking you is this Bible primary in your life? Do you love instruction? Or do you throw it behind you? Stop trying to grade me this morning. Examine your heart. Are you in the Word of God? Do you love this book? Because if you are moving away from this book and you despise instruction, sin is coming. You not only forfeit the right to train your children, but you also mislead your children. You create God in your own image, and then you project that image to your children. You know how many times I've had people sitting in my office, they said, I have a tough time coming to God. Because every time I think about God, I think about my dad or my mom, and I think this is how God is like. And I don't know what to say to them other than, well, that's not what God is like. Let me tell you how God is compassionate, how He is gracious, how He is holy, how He is truth and wisdom. You see, some parents somewhere projected the wrong image. And maybe here this evening, this morning, you are that kid who was misled by your trainer. What do you do in that situation? You have to forgive. You have to forgive that parent. You have to tell God that it's no longer what they did or they didn't do, that now from this day on you will walk in God's Word. You will live in God's truth. If you spend your whole life saying, but you don't know what my mom and daddy taught me. They never took me to church. They never did this for me. They never did that for me. My trainer didn't do his job, is what you're saying. It doesn't matter whether your trainer did his job or not. You're still failing at the game of life. The only thing you can do is say, God, would you help? Please help. Help me forgive them. Help me let go. And then, God, deal with the sins in my life. I want to love your Word. And then I want to train my children to walk in your Word. If you've never given your heart to Jesus Christ, you will never have the love for God's Word unless you love Jesus Christ. This book is about Him. This book is by Him. And this book is to Him. Unless Jesus is in your life, this book will remain a mystery to you. That's why when people say, I don't understand the Bible, what's really going through my mind is, are you really saved? Do you really know Jesus as your Savior? Well, that may be the root cause.
Thank you so much for joining us for this message. If we have any hope of training our kids in the way they should go, we have to have a clear understanding of who God is and who we are because of Him. Put your faith in the one true God today. For more information, visit us online at clearviewbc.org. And for this week's notes, check out Pastor Shah's blog at abadanshah.com.